shining a light on the women creating impact, leading organizations and mission-focused strategic programs across the federal technology and consulting community. This is Impact. Today I am speaking with Lisa Roberts, the Director of Health Portfolio at Cognosante. Lisa's program, VA Home Telehealth, was a 2023 Innovation Awards winner, and Lisa was also a 2023 Impact Awards winner. Lisa, thank you so much for joining me today.
Absolutely. Good morning.
Good morning. So let's start by saying, is there an experience or an event that you believe helped steer you down your current path?
Yes. So early in my career, I was leading NIH and VA funded grants at a clinical research center, and the clinical research center was up for renewal. And I was asked to gather information about measuring the impact of both the research center and its researchers. And so it planted the seed about thinking about impact for me. Fast forward, during my postdoctoral fellowship at the VA, it was in the early 2000s, and the Department of Veterans Affairs was just starting to launch a national effort to roll out telehealth, telemedicine, virtual care. And so I was fortunate to be involved in the ground up and have been able to work and support a specific VA home telehealth program for the last 20 years working as an industry partner. And the impact and telehealth have merged together. And when I think about it, as I was really trying to figure out how to be a part of this, I did the numbers, and I could have potentially seen 10 veterans a day and had that impact. But by being able to support this national scalable program, it has reached over 2 million veterans to date. So it's been quite a delight, and very excited that kind of those two concepts and experiences came together for my career path.
And you never would have guessed back then what an impact you would make on so many people's lives, too.
No. So it's truly been a privilege.
So do you have a leader or a mentor that helped guide you along the way at all?
I've been blessed to have many. There were at least two people that have taught me things that forever stick with me. The first one is an early mentor that I had as a researcher. His name is Dan Kivlahan. And early on, I would present these ideas about research projects or ways of looking at data. And he would frequently say, "So what?" And early on, I was somewhat taken aback and actually kind of thought he was being rude. But the essence of what he was trying to get at is, so what? And we went on to publish about statistical versus clinical significance of findings and other things. But that notion of so what became such an important question for me to ask throughout my career. So that was kind of, I think, one of the first lessons. And then there was a second that was instilled with me. It was really more of a mindset by Sunil Hazari, who is the CEO at Bayer Vitarian. And there's actually a book that has a similar message by Janelle Barlow called A Complaint is a Gift. And the idea behind this is that for any of us, when we interact with other humans, there are at times complaints or feedback. And it's natural, it's human nature at times to withdraw or pull back or even avoid that kind of information or interactions. But truly, if someone is willing to take the time and effort to complain, it does give you an open door or an opportunity to really improve or resolve a situation. And so it really altered my mindset, if you will, in terms of how to optimize customer experiences and even in my personal life. So again, I go back to that concept that a complaint is truly a gift.
And it's true. Sometimes the true mentors that you have can be ones that necessarily weren't the nicest people. I had a guy when I was fresh out of college, I went to a news radio station. I worked in news radio, and I thought I knew everything about everything. he was very dry. He had the same monotone voice as that boss on Office Space, very mm. And he tore every article that I wrote apart. And I was so, he hated me. But he actually, by him doing that, made me better. So sometimes that's what you need.
Absolutely. Well, I would say that, again, going back to that experience at the Clinical Research Center, I had it was very early in my career, but I had a very, very highly world-renowned, respected person send me a note that said I would never have a career in academia or writing unless I improved my skills. And I was so crestfallen and hurt.
Yes.
But he was right. And so it really, I thought, you know, I'm going to prove you wrong. And, mm-hmm. and so it really was a catalyst for me to improve my writing skills and look for those opportunities, but it hurt. It was harsh.
Yes. Sometimes it gives you that oomph to be like, yeah, you don't think I can do it? Yes, I can.
Exactly. If you tell me I can't do something, I will prove you wrong. Mm-hmm. So, it can be very motivating.
Yes. So, as a leader, what do you think are some important things leaders should keep in mind when they're guiding teams and driving organizations forward?
Again, this comes from both some of the most effective leaders that I've had mentor me, as well as those who have not. And I would say that the first message for me, or the first lesson, is to show up. So I've been, again, blessed to have a lot of mentors that help me define my North Star or clarify my role and objectives and really let me just run with it. But the best were always there when I had questions or needed help. And I think that that's the true message for me, is to show up and to have your team know that you have their back, that you're in it with them. And again, that they know their role and other things, but that they're not alone and that you're there to really help them get through some of those challenges. So showing up is key. And then I think the other piece is, as a clinical psychologist, part of our training is about listening skills. And there's this phrase called listen well. And it's really this notion that you are listening in terms of verbal information, but also nonverbal cues, and really trying to understand what someone has to say. And as I go from, or as my career has gone from an individual contributor to a manager to a leader, I find that one of the most important things I can do is really just listen to my teammates and my people, because they're in the weeds on some of the things that they're doing. And if they have concerns or questions or problems, I need to listen well and understand what's happening for them and try and help them work through it. So I guess two things, show up and listen, would be my summary statement.
Awesome. So now, if someone was looking at your career as a guiding force, what are some tips that you would give them to help them get to where you are today and maybe help them avoid maybe some roadblocks that you've faced along the journey?
I think that probably, even though it sounds somewhat simplistic, being open to opportunities. So again, going back to the early days of my career, I was very much on this path for an academic clinical researcher path and had not considered leaving academia, going to industry, anything else. But this passion for telehealth really sparked this interest. And that was a pathway for me to pursue that passion. And so, you know, despite all of my plans, I ended up taking this other road, and it has been absolutely incredibly fulfilling and rewarding in ways I never could have planned or expected. So I would say ultimately being open to unexpected opportunities is something that really helped me open these doors that I, again, could not have anticipated.
Okay, so now let's look to the future. What do you think is going to be one of the greatest focuses for your industry over the next 5 years or so?
I would say that, and this kind of goes back to my dissertation, which was focusing on patient preferences. To simplify it, if you think about folks, they're often very devoted to either Coke or Pepsi, right? And I used to be one of the Diet Coke people, so I can speak to this very clearly. But as I think about the world of telehealth, and especially since the pandemic, it has become much more widely used, available, and accepted. And so that's fabulous. But again, going back to the early days of my career when I was just starting to use this tool, it's not a one size fits all. And so I distinctly remember two different patients of mine that were in a clinical trial, demographically very similar in terms of age, war experience, clinical conditions, socioeconomic status, all sorts of things. And when I offered the opportunity to participate in a virtual telemedicine visit, I had two very extreme responses. So the first patient was so excited, you know, this way he didn't have to drive 2 hours each way to see me, then another hour in the parking lot and all the other hassles that go through all of that. And he literally taught me how to use the equipment. So he was a champion for me to be able to do all of this. The other veteran, though, what I mentioned to this, and again, it was in an in-person visit, he was grasping the handles of his chair back up against the wall. And he said, "Doc, are you crazy? I have never shared any of these experiences with another human being. And you think I'm going to do it on a camera?" And so it really struck me at that time and continues to stick with me to this day that virtual care is a wonderful set of tools, but it doesn't replace in-person care. And there are times where we need to be able to ask the individual patient what really fits their needs at the time. So I would say that, again, as we continue to expand the virtual health opportunities and offerings, that we need to continue to keep that in mind.
Wow. Well, that's really great. Well, Lisa, thank you for taking the time to hop on with us today.
Absolutely. It's been really fun. And thank you for your mission in terms of helping to get this information out.
Yes.
Thank you for listening. Please be sure to check out our other podcasts, Keeping IT Brief and Afternoon Tea, available on your podcast providers.